This interview is with David Kaluzny II, Vice President of Kaluzny Brothers Incorporated in Joliet, Illinois, and Chairman of the National Renderers Association. His topic at the National Institute for Animal Agriculture annual meeting was biofuels and rendering partnerships, addressing potential solutions.
The products that we're using for biodiesel production are our fats and oils. They range from tallows and white greases, which are from beef and pork, all the way down to yellow greases and brown greases, which are byproducts of food cooking, whether it's deep frying at McDonald's or whether it's the reclaimed greases out of the wastewater from food processing plants. We take those and we put those into the biodiesel production process. Basically, renderers produce about one-third of all the fats and oils in the United States that are produced every year. The other two are produced by the vegetable oil manufacturer. So whether it's soybean oil or corn oil or canola, any one of those, they produce the other two-thirds of what's out there. So basically, we produce about 11.5 billion pounds a year. They produce about 22.5 billion pounds a year. The advantage to using a rendered fat or a rendered oil is that as a feedstock for fuel, it's cheaper than using a vegetable oil, like a soybean oil or a corn oil, that is produced for edible consumption. The big difference there is obviously our products are not going into foods. They're usually going into feeds or they're going into the oleochemical business, but not going into food. Hence the price of those products, which they're all commodities just like corn and soybeans and soybean oil and corn oil. They are a cheaper feedstock, hence we can make the biodiesel cheaper, if you will, and we don't have the effect on the food market that you do when you're using soybean oil.
Well, what do you think is the potential at this point for using rendering products to make biodiesel and biofuels?
Well, there's a huge potential there. We, as a country, export a great deal of our rendered product. We've always produced more than what we can use here internally. So there is an amount leaving this country already which we're not using, which can be applied towards biodiesel production, which ultimately lessens our dependence on foreign oil. The only sticking point with using a rendered fat or oil is the fact that it has a higher free fatty acid, which requires one additional step within the biodiesel production to handle that free fatty acid being a measure of the degradation of a fat. But once you accomplish that, that accomplishment is more than offset by the decreased cost of it as a feedstock for biodiesel production. So it has a great deal of potential. There is currently only a couple of plants in the United States that do use rendered product on a regular basis or an all-the-time basis for biodiesel production. But there are a number of them that are under construction right now that will be going online middle part to the end of this year that will significantly increase the amount of rendered product that's going to biodiesel production.
What do you see as the advantages for animal agriculture with these increasing partnerships between biofuels and rendering companies?
Well, the advantage to the animal agriculture community is a new host of feedstocks for feeds themselves. From the ethanol production, you've got distiller grains, whether they're dried or whether they're still wet, which is basically a feed commodity, which is just like corn, only it's absent the starch that's in there because the starch got turned into alcohol, but it still has the energy value of the oil. It still has the protein value that's inherent to corn anyway. All you're doing is missing some of the starch. And since it is a byproduct of the ethanol production, it's cheaper to buy as a feed ingredient than is to go out and buy corn, significantly cheaper. So that even though the price of corn has gone up as a feed material, the price of the DDGs can more than offset that in a lot of cases. On the biodiesel side, one of the byproducts of biodiesel production is glycerin. Glycerin has historically been used in this country and around the world for cosmetic uses. It's in all your hand creams, it's in your foundations, it's in your eyeliners and lipsticks, it's in toothpaste. But there's more glycerin being produced, especially with biodiesel production now, than we can ever use in those products. And glycerin as itself has always been regarded as a grass substance for feed, generally regarded as safe. It has a high caloric value, so it can be added to feed to put calories back in that may be absent in some of your feed formulations that are real high on fiber content, but not real high on energy content. And there's a lot of work being done at a number of universities around the country right now to ascertain on a specific basis exactly how much energy there is in that glycerin and what effect that energy does have on growth performance in the poultry industry, the pork industry, and the beef industry, all three.
You talked about the food versus fuel issue, and we've got into a lot of the parts of that in talking about these different byproducts.
It's really not a question of food or fuel or food versus fuel. It's really food and fuel, if you will, because if you look at corn, now let's take that one as an example. Corn as a fuel for your car, or is it a fuel for the animal? I mean, really, that's what corn's in the diet for anyway. It is the fuel for the animal. It is the high degree of energy that an animal needs. That corn oil is what's in there, is what's going into that feed to help that animal grow. So if you can get that same corn oil out of the distiller grains that comes off an ethanol plant, you really haven't eliminated that fuel for the animal or that feed for the animal at all. You've taken out part of the starch, and granted, animals do need that, but we have a lot of other forms of that out there that are already in the diet anyway. You know, diets are always a combination of a lot of different ingredients. It's not just one. Nobody feeds straight corn to their animals, and that's it. A lot of people do not realize what comes from the animal. What comes from the animal goes right back to the animal, or what comes from the animal and goes into products for humans. Like I mentioned, the glycerin going into so many different products that we use every day, you know, from your toothpaste right down to the antifreeze in your car, basically all of those come from animal fat. Putting part of that back into fuel when we basically have a big surplus of it here in the United States is really not a problem. The market dynamic is always in place. So as a entity, biofuel comes out and creates an increased demand for fats and oils or for corn, the market's not going to just sit there and say, okay, you buy that and I'll have to short somebody else. What you have is the market going out there and saying, oh, geez, if there's a greater demand, we better make some more. Making in this case is either planting more acres, planting more higher yielding acres. In the case of animal production, okay, if we need more, well, we'll grow more. Granted, it takes 2 years to bring a cow all the way to production, you know, on your plate from the point in time it's born. But it only takes 8 weeks for a chicken. It takes less than a year for a pig. So those markets take a while to kick in, but they will. They're not operating in a vacuum. And as they see greater demands for any portion of that market, the producers of that product will respond in kind. In some cases, it just may take a year or two to do it, only because that's the life cycle of that market.
That was David Kaluzny II, Vice President of Kaluzny Brothers Incorporated and Chairman of the National Renderers Association. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.